I think you have 20 more seconds to say hello. But I'll take those. How much have I got here? Oh, good morning, everyone. I'm Glenn. I have been privileged to be a pastor in the Free Methodist Church for just over 40 years. And last June, I thought I was done. My wife and I, Nancy and I, have recently retired. Our last ministry appointment was in Davison, Michigan, which has quite a few connections here to Pierce Memorial. And we bought a winter place in Lakeland, Florida, with our friends at Light and Life Park. And we thought we were going to get to spend the winter there. Well, we spent 2 weeks there. And then we came to this beautiful place, which just happens to be the snowiest city in America this week. Did you see that on the news? It's really true. Over the next few months, the next 6 months, as I serve as your interim pastor, I hope we'll get to know one another. This is a bit of an introduction for me today. I hold three citizenships. I am a Canadian by birth, a U.S. citizen by choice, and most importantly, a citizen of heaven by faith in Jesus Christ, which, by the way, supersedes the other two. I'm a graduate of Spring Arbor University and Western Evangelical Seminary, but I have a legitimate connection to Roberts Wesleyan College because my older brother, Jerry Teal, spent 4 years on the cross-country team here in the late 60s and won the state championship every year under Prof. Anderson. I'm a huge fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs, having grown up in Niagara Falls, but I'm also a fan of the Buffalo Bills. I think that should count. That should count for something. I first attended here when my brother was a student, and I believe the pastor was Elwin Cutler. Later, I attended again several times. One of those times, my fellow Canadian, Gary Walsh, was your pastor. And I was privileged to preach here. Our family came, Nancy and I, and our two teenage kids, when Art Brown was pastor, and I preached in a summer series. But it is wonderful to be here today, now, in this season, when God is preparing us for the person he already knows will be the next pastor here at Pierce Memorial Church. And I sense God's calling to help us get ready, to be prepared in every sense of that word. Nancy and I came in here to this space the other day, had some prayer time here in the front row, and when I stood up, we both kind of looked around the room and thought about the 160 years of history of Pierce Memorial, and all the ways God has worked, and all the lives God has changed, all the marriages he has rescued, all the families he has restored, all the difference that he has made. Hasn't God been good? Hasn't God been good? Yes, 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 yes. And I don't know about you, but I don't think he's done. Someone told me that as I got toward retirement, they said, you know, Glenn, if you're not dead, you're not done. Well, God is not dead, and God is not done. And all that he has done here in the past, he will do again and again and again. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe he's going to do good things through this season of ministry together. I'm so blessed and privileged to be part of what God is up to. Today, we look at the scriptures to remind ourselves of what God says about the church and his purposes and plans. Last night, when I shared the message in Parmeter, afterwards, someone said, well, you know, Glenn, I knew all that stuff. I knew that Jesus was our leader. I knew that he builds a prevailing church. I knew that he should lead us in ways that are both deep and wide. And my answer is, good, then let's do it. Let's live it. I'm reading a great book called Preaching as Reminding. The author says that if your pastor gets up and tells you things from the Bible no one's ever heard before, there's a good chance it's heresy. That the best preaching is reminding us of things we learned as kids, if we were part of the church, or as new believers, but perhaps have forgotten, or the power of those truths has begun to fade. So Lord, rekindle our flame of love and faith. My first reminder for you, friends, is that Jesus is the head of the church. And by the way, he hasn't gone anywhere. He has remained the same. He is with us today. He will be with us forever. In Colossians chapter 1, we are taught this timeless truth. He is before all things, and in him, Christ, all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. Would you read the rest out loud with me? He is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Isn't that great? Remember that. Be reminded of that. There is nobody like Jesus. I never want to get used to him. I never want to get over him. I don't want you to either. He is the creator of all things. He is the cosmic glue that holds it all together. He is the eternal starting point of everything that exists. Wow. He is the first eternally resurrected one. Because he lives, we too shall live. On Jesus, people, death doesn't work anymore. We become alive in a new way, in our hearts, in our spirit, when we accept Christ as our leader and forgiver, and that life lasts forever. He is the firstborn from among the dead, the one and only Son of God, that he might be preeminent, first, supreme in all things. And so, here at Pierce Memorial Free Methodist Church, Jesus is the head. He is our focus. He is our leader. He is before all things here in our church. He holds us together here in our church, in his church. And he reminds us of who we are and what he is doing in us and through us. So we follow him with all our hearts. We follow him because we love him, because he first loved us. There's nobody like Jesus. We are here today and part of his family because somewhere, sometime, each of us who were once dead in our sins were made alive through faith in Christ. We who wandered in a far-off country of sin and selfishness came running home to the Father, only to discover that he had been watching and waiting for us. Because of the forgiveness of sins and new life in Christ, purchased through Christ's blood on the cross, as we just read, we are made new, and we're welcomed home, and we're part of a forever family. The Father threw his arms around us and greeted us with a kiss and a robe and a ring and a party with our name on it. This is our Lord, our leader, Jesus the Christ. And we are his people. We've been captured by his grace, and now we're compelled by his love. And just as God has been with us and Jesus has led us for these past 160 years, so he will lead us into the future. As I mentioned, we've served five congregations prior to this one. One of those was Crossroads Community Church in Temperance, Michigan. Anyone know where that is? It's a Michigan suburb of Toledo, Ohio, just over the border. And during our 12 and a half years there, God did some amazing things. And the church doubled in size, and we built a new building, and then we sensed in our spirit that it was time to move on. I knew I needed something from the Lord for that last day. There were those who were troubled by the fact that their pastor was leaving. God led me to the funeral service for Martin Luther King Jr. when he was tragically assassinated. There were many in the civil rights movement of that time who felt defeated and discouraged. Their leader was dead. And at his funeral, one of the pastors who spoke said, "There's a rumor that our leader is gone, that he has passed. But the truth is that our leader hasn't gone anywhere because our leader was with Moses when he led his children into the promised land. And our leader was with Daniel when he survived that night in the lion's den. And our leader was with the followers of Jesus in the New Testament when miracles happened and lives were changed. And most of all, when death was overcome and he broke forth from the grave, our leader is still alive and he is with us. Don't give up. Don't despair. Our leader hasn't gone anywhere." And as I shared that word with that congregation, it gave us all hope for the future because we knew that was true. And it's true here. Pastors have come and pastors have gone, but Jesus is still here. Amen? Amen. Give me something here. Give me an give me something, all right? And I'm only here for 6 months, but Jesus will be here long after I leave. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yes? There's nobody like Jesus. He is our leader, so follow him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And another reminder is that the Word of God tells us that Jesus is leading us into a good future. That Jesus is the one who is building this church, and he builds prevailing churches. Matthew chapter 16, Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." In other words, you're too stupid to figure that out by yourself. You know, no, only God could have shown you that, because Jesus knew Peter, right? "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." This classic passage has been somewhat controversial. Our Catholic friends interpret it to mean that Peter, as a person, is the foundation of the church, and you can understand that from the sentence. We Protestants, on the other hand, believe that Jesus was referring to the God-inspired confession that Peter had just made. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And on that confession, Jesus would build his church. And he would build a prevailing church, not just a barely surviving church. Aren't you glad? Not just a comfortable church or a complacent church, but a church that pushes back the darkness, a church that makes a difference, a church that is used by God to transform lives. How cool is that? I love hearing the stories of how God has already done that. He's done that for you and your family and your friends. That's why you're here today. There are stories of this church prevailing time and time and time again. Nancy and I have experienced the privilege to be part of a prevailing church. Whether it was in the Free Methodist churches where we were raised as children and teenagers, Nancy and Quincy, Washington, and me in Niagara Falls, Ontario, or those five congregations where we've served and seen God change lives again and again and again, Jesus has built prevailing churches. Our first assignment was Estevan, Saskatchewan, 10 miles north of the North Dakota border, kind of the middle of nowhere. Well, it's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there, right? Famous because it's the hometown of Bishop Donald Bastian. And it was a great church, great place. We were there 4 years. Our kids were born there. And after a little while serving there, I was a bit frustrated that our church wasn't growing much. City of 10,000 people. We were a little stuck and a little stale. And I was praying to have wisdom and direction from God as to how to break out of that. One of my mentors in ministry was a pastor named George Delamarter. He had a brother, Jack, who also had a big influence on my life. They were big advocates of just personally sharing Christ with people and helping them to find faith. And so when I asked for their counsel, they said, well, Glenn, we just think it would be good if you would discipline yourself one night a week to go and visit in the homes of some of the new people in your church. And especially if you know that they're a spiritual seeker or they have questions or may not know the Lord, to share Christ with them and learn how to do that, learn how to be comfortable walking through the gospel and asking people where they stand and what they'd like to do about that. So I began to do it. I picked Tuesday night. I don't know why Tuesday, I just picked Tuesday. And for several Tuesdays in a row, I just tried to find somebody who was newer in our church or had a connection and make an appointment and go. One Tuesday, I went to Bob and Ann's house. They had come a week or two previous to that, prior to that. They had church in their background, but they weren't really clear on knowing Jesus. And Bob was a teacher, Ann was a nurse. They had two little kids, a girl about 7 or 8, and a boy 5 or 6. And we just had a delightful time getting to know one another. At the end of that first visit, I asked if I could come back the next week and just talk with them about what the scriptures teach about knowing Christ. They said, sure. So that next Tuesday night, I came back and we walked through a simple Bible study, you know, God's love for us, our sinfulness, the fact that we have turned and gone our own way. But God in his love sent Jesus for us to pay for our sins as he died on the cross, to give us new life as he rose from the grave. And if we'll trust in him, we too can have abundant and eternal life. And as I got to the end of the study, my heart was pounding because I knew I was going to ask a question. And I said, I read a prayer because I didn't want them to be praying anything they didn't understand or want to do, you know. I don't believe in coercing anybody into faith. So I said, here's this prayer, and it says, you know, God, I know that I need you. I thank you for your love. I invite you to forgive me. And I said, does that prayer express your heart? And kind of to my surprise, they both said yes. And there we prayed together. Bob and Ann gave their lives to Jesus. The Estevan Free Methodist Church was a prevailing church once more. In many, many ways, but in particular because someone who was once lost was now found. I went home on cloud nine. I went home thanking God for a miracle of grace. And then I realized the challenge had only begun, right? Now there was all the discipling and teaching and helping and encouraging along the way so that Bob and Ann would become fully devoted followers of Jesus. And for the next 4 years, we kind of threw ourselves into that task for them and a lot of other people. Quite a while later, several years later, I was back in the area, and I hadn't really thought about them in a while. But a friend of mine who had been a part of that church during that season knew I was coming, and so he said, well, could you come by some night this week and we'll get the gang together, you know, the sort of the core people who were part of the church when you were here. And so I went. I think there were 5 couples, almost all of whom had come to faith in Christ, and Bob and Ann were there. And as we, you know, shared and told stories, about half hour into things, Bob said, "You know, Glenn, do you remember where you were exactly 25 years ago today?" And I said, "No. You were in our home. That's the day we gave our lives to Christ, and everything's changed." Bob and Ann became leaders in that church and then another congregation where they became part. Their little girl, Leslie, became a missionary to a Muslim country in the Middle East where she risked her life for Jesus. And their little boy, Ashley, had just completed his PhD and had become a seminary professor. Wow. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. The ripples of God's grace continue on and on and on in ways we can't even fully comprehend. And those ripples are here today. They are part of this church and our legacy. And they are reaching around this community and around the world. So thank you to everybody here who is part of this prevailing church, who has ever stepped up and said, "I'll help." If you've ever shoveled the walk, or held a kid in the nursery, or taught an elementary school child, or hung out with some teenagers, or gone on a winter retreat — I think they just got back from one, didn't they? If you have sung on the worship team, or been on the mission team, or helped with the facilities team, or been on the sound team — I don't know, how many teams have we got around here? If you have done any of those things for the cause of Christ, you are part of God's prevailing church. Thank you. And perhaps most important, if you have done something that was sort of hidden and not many people noticed, and maybe nobody said thank you, God saw. God noticed. On behalf of this church, on behalf of the Lord, thank you. Keep it up. Keep it up. Jesus is building a prevailing church, and he is not done. And finally, one more reminder that when Jesus builds a prevailing church, it is both deep and wide. I love this text in Ephesians chapter 3. I'll probably come back to it again during my time here. "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all God's people to grasp four things: how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." God's love is amazing. It is beyond our comprehension. He says it's love. He wants us to know something that we can't really know, because you can really only experience it. And when you experience God's love, he changes everything. Anybody here old enough to remember the kids' song, "Deep and Wide"? You know, this passage says that God's love is both deep and wide. Let's try a little together, okay? You've got to do the motions. Come on. Work with me. Now I can see those of you who do not participate. All right, let's try it. Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Now, the best part of this song is when you leave words out, right? So we're going to leave out the word "wide" and try it again. We'll pick up the pace, okay? Deep and there's a fountain flowing deep and deep and there's a fountain flowing deep and. Okay, you did pretty well. There were a few little, you know, in there. So we did that last night. We kind of had fun with it. So Nancy this morning, she says, "Glenn, are you going to do that again?" I said, "Why?" They were really into it last night. She said, "Well, it's kind of silly, you know. It's a kid's song. It's Pierce, you know, come on. I'm like, well, there's a point. The point is that sometimes we have this debate between whether the church should be or, and it's not either or. You know, if you leave out deep, it's just playing games. If you leave out wide, it's just all about us four and no more. And we all know churches, we all know well-meaning believers who have turned in on themselves, who really don't care about those nameless, faceless people out there who aren't in any church today, who don't know Jesus, and who face an eternity lost without him. So we say, as Jesus leads his church called Pierce Memorial Free Methodist Church, as he has led us for 160 years, we will choose to be both deep and wide. Both deep and wide. Now, the best way for this church to be deep is for it to be filled with fully devoted followers of Christ who take it upon themselves to carve out a spiritual walk that is consistent and faithful and soul-nourishing. Do you know who the person is who bears the primary responsibility for your spiritual health? You. The person who looks back at you in the mirror, right? And so I'm here to coach you and encourage you and help you, but I can't grow you. I can't make anybody here deep, but you can, as you read and study and apply God's word. As you build habits of the heart that open you up to the Spirit of God, right? Intimate, real, soulish conversations we call prayer. And as we carve those patterns deep in our souls, and as our roots go deep in Jesus Christ, this church is deep and wide. I've heard of your love for Nzige, Rwanda. I know about your passion for people in need in the greater Rochester area. I mean, Jesus is at work in us, helping us to get beyond ourselves, to get out of these walls, and to share his love one life at a time. So I wrote something a couple of years ago. I was praying and thinking about, what does it mean to be a church with a wide reach? And I thought about all the people Jesus included, you know, the ones he invited in, like prostitutes who were sexually immoral and Samaritans who were ethnically different and Roman soldiers who were dangerous and violent, poor people, tax collector people, physically disabled people, even leprous, socially outcast people, Jesus included. So, as a church committed to be both deep and wide, I wanted to remind you today that here at Pierce, everyone's welcome. Everyone's welcome. Whether you are part of the greatest generation or the baby boom generation or the Gen X, Gen Y, millennial, or Gen Z, or iGen generation, or any generation I left out, you're welcome. You are welcome here. There's a place for you here. If you are single, married, divorced, female, male, straight, or gay, or still sorting yourself out, you're welcome here. If you are a U.S. citizen, I've been one a year now, a permanent resident, I was one for 25 years, a temporary resident, or even undocumented, you are welcome here. If you voted for the current president or the previous one, or both or neither, you're welcome here. Yeah, I went there, okay? If you are skinny as a rail or pleasingly plump, if you are unusually tall or vertically challenged, if your skin is red, yellow, brown, black, or white, or some combination of all the above, which most of us are, you're welcome here. If you love to sing sonorously or can't carry a tune in a bucket, If you've been inked, pierced, or both, or neither, there's a place in these pews for you. If you're a kid looking for a place to belong, a teenager trying to figure out who you really are, a soccer mom running too far and too fast, a NASCAR dad just trying to get her done, if you're a corporate executive or a starving artist, if you've recently lost your temper at work or lost your offering money at the casino, if you clocked 60-plus hours on the job this past week, or you've been unemployed for longer than you care to admit, you're welcome here. If you came here today just browsing, church shopping, or checking out the new guy, if you're totally into church and hate to miss a week, or if you've doubted God's love and don't trust organized religion, if you had religion shoved down your throat as a kid and you're still trying to get over it, if you somehow got lost in traffic on Buffalo Road and wound up here by accident, you're welcome here. And most of all, if you find yourself here today in need of someone who will love you just the way you are and pray for you, you've come to the right place. Because this is a Jesus-led church. This is a prevailing church. This is a church where God's love is both deep and wide. In a moment or two, we're going to close. And as I prepared this message over the past several weeks, I kept thinking that I wanted to close by asking you to pray for me and pray for our ministry together. And so I'm actually going to invite you, those of you who will, to just come forward and either stand or kneel here at the front. And if God, you know, has been speaking to you about your passion for him and for his work in this place, then I'd invite you to come and join us. I've asked the staff and other lay leaders to join me here. I'd invite all of us to do that. Since Jesus is our leader, and this church is prevailing, and our love for him and for this world is both deep and wide, then we fix our eyes on Christ. We refuse to be discouraged. We refuse to grumble or complain, even if this transition takes a little longer or gets a little bumpy. God's got this. Stay calm. Trust God. Pray much. And watch what he does. We are Christ's church with a capital C, Pierce Memorial Free Methodist Church. Together, we are blessed and privileged to participate in this particular expression of God's love, a God-ordained, spirit-enlivened, heaven-sent, unstoppable force for good and for God. This is who we are. So I'm asking you over these next 6 months and beyond, give it your best. Bring your friends. Give your money. Stay involved, serve the Lord, stick together, love the lost, run to win, follow Jesus. Almost exactly a year ago now, I announced to my congregation in Davison, Michigan, my plans to retire this past June. And when I did, I wrote this. It seems very likely that out there beyond retirement in the future, there will be some kind of ministry the Lord has prepared for me, as yet undiscovered. The fact that I don't know exactly what it is actually makes it better. For 40-plus years, I've been telling folks, you can trust God. Following Jesus is life's greatest adventure. Sacrificing for him is normal. Audacious obedience is what Christ followers do. We dare boldly, we push off bravely, we dive in deeply, we trust God completely. And now it's my turn. Little did I know that we'd be here and this moment would be before us. So together, friends, dare boldly, push off bravely, dive in deeply, trust God completely.